Good morning, everyone. Today's daf. That's a little bit better. Today's daf in Tamid is daf Lamed Beis. It's the last day of Tamid. We got a lot to do today. It's all Mishnayos. Lamed Gimel is, of course, what I meant. That's correct. We have a lot to do today, so let's get underway. We're going to be doing the 5th, 6th, and 7th parak of Prakim of Tamid. Okay, and we're finishing up. If you remember, we just concluded the 4th parak of Tamid, and we talked about the cutting up of the carbon Tamid. And what do we do? So the last we left off, we cut it up. 9 Kohanim were assigned to bring up the various limbs up the ramp. They brought it halfway up the ramp. Literally stopped, dropped the limbs on the ramp. I'm sure they deposited respectfully, and then they went to Lishkas Hagazis and they went to go say Shema. Okay, and this is exactly where we leave ourselves off. Amar Lahem Amamuna.
Did the seventh Kohanim do also the afternoon service?
Interesting. The Mishnah here doesn't talk about that. I don't know. So the Amamuna, again, there's a person who is the administrator who is basically in charge of all this. So he says, make a bracha. Bracha achas, the director. Yeah, correct. Correct, the director. So Amr bracha achas, I want you to say one bracha, vehem barchu, and they made a bracha. Now, bracha achas. Now, we're going to do a very, very short version of davening. Okay? It's like a super hashkamba, if you will. So it's a real short version of davening. So first of all, there are two brachas before Kriya Shema, so they say one of those two. Which one do they say? That's a fair question. So the Gemara and Brachos, stay tuned, because in just a short couple weeks from now, the Gemara and Brachos debates this very issue, and the Gemara there does not arrive at a conclusion. There are only two choices to choose from. It's either the bracha of Yotze or it's the bracha of Ava Rabba, or Ava Solam. Don't worry, I have you in mind. So the it's one of those two brachas, and it is and the Gemara there debates. And stay tuned, because when we get to brachas, we're going to discuss that very question. Vein bracha. Now, keep in mind, by the way, they're going to be davening. It's really early in the morning, meaning it's before Nate. So, as I'll show you the rush a little bit later on, this isn't like a davening. It's like a warm up davening. It's for the hiskablus of the karbanos. The Kadosh Baruch Hu should accept the karban, but it's not like a real davening. Am I making myself clear? Probably not.
They would daven afterwards.
Yeah, they would daven afterwards. Rush actually says it inside. That they would actually daven afterwards. Now, keep this in mind also before we go further in the Mishnayos. You know there was davening. Meaning, it's a little bit strange, but there was avoda and there was davening. Now, what do I mean by that? Meaning there was certainly Shemona Esrei. Shemona Esrei was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. We know the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were the beginning of the Bayit Sheni. That means that for the duration of the Second Temple, there was a Shemona Esrei. Now, the 19th bracha of Shemona Esrei was added at a later point in time historically. Okay, fine, but that's the 19th bracha. But the 18th brachas of Shemona Esrei were there in existence from the beginning of the Second Temple. So they clearly had a formula, a form of davening. So, but here, when we're describing their mini, like abridged version of davening, so it's not a, even, they had regular davening. This was like a warm-up session. Just, it was a specific davening just so that their carbon would be accepted. The Rush makes a couple of excellent observations, like notably, right? When we daven Shemona Esrei, what do we say? When it comes right before Modim, the Bracha of Ritzei, HaMachazir Shechina Sol L'Tzion. We want your Shechina to return to Tzion. So, let me ask, it's not my question, the Rush asks this question. So they're davening now. Well, how are they ending the Bracha of Ritzei? HaMachazir Shechina Sol L'Tzion. We want your Shechina to come back to Tzion. It's there, we're doing the Avodah right now.
In the Shemona Esrei, did not say Tishkam B'Tov Shemayim. We talk in
Shemayim. Uvnei, right? Uvnei Yushalayim, right? Right. Right. That's a. How did that bracha exist? Okay, that question is a good question. I don't have an immediate answer for. The Rush writes right over here that in terms of the bracha of Amachzir Shchinas L'Tzion, so what the bracha they would make is Sha'oscha She'oscha b'yiranavod. You know, the bracha that we make on Yontif. Okay. Right before Birchas Kohan, right before Duchanim. Right, it's an Ashkenazic thing. She'oscha b'... Huh? Yeah, yeah. Okay. Amalem Amamuna Barchu Barcha Achazahim Barchu. So they make a bracha. They make one bracha. Again, subject to a debate in the Gemara Brachos, whether it was Avarabba or Yotzeor. Karu Asaras Dibros, they read Asaras Dibros. Asaras Dibros, historically, was part of davening. Historically, Asaras Dibros was taken out of davening. The Gemara Brachos discusses this as well. And the Gemara Brachos says that it was taken out of davening because people thought, Asaras Dibros, wait a second. We were at Muhammad Har Sinai, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the Aseret HaDibros. Oh, must be that that's the Torah. And everything else is kind of like, you know, like a side dish, if you will. So people did not understand Aseret HaDibros in its proper context, so therefore it was taken out of davening. Shema Vayam Shemoa. Yeah, but can I assure you? No, nobody says it. So Aseret HaDibros is fine. Shema v'hayayim shemoa v'yomit. The three paragraphs of Shema. And again, the Rosh says that it was early. And they would end up repeating it later on. But again, just as part of this abridged version of davening, they would say that as well. Baruch Hu Am Shalosh Brachos. Then they would make three brachos. Three more brachos. What are the three more brachos? And they are. In order, Emes V'yatziv. Emes V'yatziv, of course, is the beginning of the bracha after Shema. That ends with Gal Yisrael. Followed then by Avoda, meaning, wow, did we fast forward? Meaning we went straight from Gal Yisrael all the way to Ritzei. And then Birchas Kohanim. And then the Birchas Kohanim. And that's it. In other words, that's the pre-davening davening. V'Shabbos Mosif V'Bracha Achas V'Mishma Yotzi. And on Shabbos we would add one more bracha, which I'll discuss in just a moment. Couple things over here. Number one, let's take a look at some of the points of the Rush. The very first Rush, I think I made this point already, but I'll make it again. The Rush says, when they deposited all the limbs on the ramp, and then they broke for davening. Where did they go? They went to Lishkas Agazis. The Rush writes over here, it's the first Rush on this Perek of Mishnayos. The Rush writes, U'memuna l'chol seder avonis hayom v'amar lahem, l'ach yishbal l'lishkas agazis, she'tfilaso shel adam nishma'as, b'makom dalid amo shel Torah. Where is davening heard best, writes the Rush? In a place where there's a makom Torah, in a place where they're learning Torah. And so as I mentioned earlier, there's a discussion, clearly an advantage to davening in a place where Torah is learned. So if there's a base medrash, there's certain advantages of davening in a base medrash. Okay. Anything else I want to highlight over here in the Rush? A lot of the points I made already outside of the Rush. Let's see this inside. The Rush, where he talks about Baruch Hu Gimel Brachos, we're making the three Brachos, Emes V'yatziv Avodah Birchas Kohanim. So the Rush writes, and again, I'm just reading inside, Lo Yalam Panan Lispal Yurches Brachos. There wasn't enough time right now to daven Shmoneh Esrei, because right now we're just pausing between the depositing of the limbs and then the rest of the Avodah. Vayu Mispalim Ritzei Shayakarban Reich Nichoach. So, but what they would do is they would just highlight various portions of the davening in the morning, notably Ritzei, because they wanted the carbon to be accepted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rush writes over here that in this version of Ritzei, the Beis HaMikdash version of Ritzei, they wouldn't say, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, return the Avoda to us, because they were in the process of doing the Avoda. So v'gam lo hayu misaimim ma'achzir shkinas l'tzion, and they wouldn't end this bracha of Ritzei with the words of ma'achzir shkinas l'tzion, because shkinas you already. Ela she'oscha levadecha b'yira na'avod baruch atah Hashem shochein b'tzion. So their nusach of Ritzei was a totally different nusach, and it was a nusach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're shochein b'tzion, you're resting in Tzion. Okay.
He doesn't say anything about Rene Shabbat.
Well, first of all, they wouldn't say it Bichlal, but your question's still a valid question because, good, so they didn't say it at all. But when the Jews did end up saying Shemoneh Esrei every day, so what did they say in that Bracha Uvenei?
Right, no, because this
It's an excellent question. I don't.
You could see that they davened with kavana because if they were. In,
yeah.
anyone can zip through the Shemona Esrei in 5 seconds.
That's okay. I'll accept that point. All right. Moving along. We're up to the next Mishnah. Let me just, for one more moment, talk about the extra bracha on Shabbos. On Shabbos, they would add an extra bracha for the Mishmar HaYotzei. Okay, we've talked about this many times, but let's just make sure that we understand. There would be a change of the guard every week, specifically on Shabbos, specifically right in the middle of Shabbos. And so a change of the guard means that one Mishmar family left, and another Mishmar family took its place. And in fact, with this changing of the guard, one of the signifying ways that we know that we change the guards is because the lechem aponim then becomes divided. Half the lechem aponim, there are 12 loaves in total, half the lechem aponim is given to last week's Mishmar, and half the lechem aponim is going to be given to this week's Mishmar. Fine. And in the changing of the guard, so on Shabbos, the Mishmar that's leaving, the family that's leaving, is going to now make a bracha for the family that's coming. And you know what that bracha is? The Rush is wonderful over here. The Rush says that bracha is, please guys, don't fight.
Kohanim.
Yeah, I understand the Kohanim. So, right, you're going to have a week here in the Beis HaMikdash, and please don't fight. And if you think I am exaggerating or joking, I'm going to read the Russian side. Mosif bracha achas l'mishma hayotzei. Mishma hayotzei mosif oso habracha. The mishma that's leaving is making the bracha. Va'alav mutalas v'hu mishma sha'avad b'shavu sha'avra. That's the mishma that's been working this past week. Ve'him osim avodas haboker. Ve'achar kach ovdim mishma hanichnas. So they would do on Shabbos the morning work, and then they would pass the baton, not literally, but they would pass the baton on to the next Mishma that's coming up. The one who rests in this house, of course, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, who yashkin b'neichem, and he should rest amongst you, ava v'achva v'shalom v'reyus. Right. In other words, gentlemen, please don't fight. Mishnah Beis. Amram Chadash Mekataris. Now we're up to our third lottery of the morning. And the third lottery is first introduced with, this is for only people who never got it. Meaning this is a once in a lifetime opportunity where you're going to be able to offer the Kataris. But anyone who's done it before does not participate in this lottery. Yishanim. Yishanim is those who are sleeping. Im Yishanim. And then for the fourth lottery of the morning, we bring everyone back, even people who are not first-time comers. And because this now fourth lottery is going to determine who's going to take the limbs from the ramp up to the Mizbech. Now, Rabbi Elazar Yaakov Omer, Amale Ivan Lekevish Umala Osana Gabi Mizbech. So Rabbi Elazar Yaakov says, no, it's the same people who brought the limbs up to the ramp, up to the halfway point of the ramp. They're the same Kohanim are going to bring it up from the ramp up to the top of the Mizbech. Okay? Basically, it's... No,
I mean,
could be. I mean, there are conflicting concepts over here. On one hand, maschilim big mitzvah omrim lo gemor, right? You start a mitzvah, so you should finish. In other words, I hear Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, right? They're the one, you know, the Kohanim were brought up halfway; they didn't finish the job. In other words, they only stopped because they wanted to daven Lashkas HaGazus. But now you go back, so Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, his mentality is, okay, let them finish the job that they started. And I guess the Tanakhama of the Mishnah says, no, we want more people, more Kohanim to participate, so therefore, we want to share the wealth, so to say. So I kind of understand the Machlokas, I hear both sides of the Machlokas. Okay.
But what did they do? It's a Machlokas, it's not like a...
I know. Let's take a more global look at Masechta Tamid. There are very few machloksim in the Masechta. I don't have a good answer for you. Meaning, it is strange that they're debating what actually happened.
Right.
I understand that. But from a global standpoint,
I can understand the concept.
Yeah, it's just very, very. There's very little machlokas.
Like it's like this. They did it one way, and then the other guy comes in that's the off base, and it says the other way, and another guy comes in.
Now, masum lechazanim hayum afshitim osamis big dayim. Okay, now in the Lishkas Hagazis, we now know who's doing the Avoda and who is not doing the Avoda. Meaning all lotteries now have been cast. And we're ready to go back out there. But not everyone's going to go back out there. Meaning because we've already selected which Kohanim are going to be carrying the limbs up from the ramp up to the Mizbech. We've selected which Kohen is going to do the Ketores. We've selected which Kohen is going to help the person do the Ketores. Meaning everyone's got a job. So that means that there are going to be some Kohanim that are now in the Lishkas Hagazis who simply don't have a job that morning. Okay? And so is the Ratzon HaBorei. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So what? So now, take off your Big Day Kahuna. Now the Rush points out that it's subject to a debate whether everyone had the Big Day Kahuna on, or perhaps everyone had the Big Day Kahuna ready to put on. But let's even assume that everyone had the Big Day Kahuna on. But now the Kohanim who didn't have anything to do, so now because they didn't have anything to do, now they take off their Big Day Kahuna. Now they leave their pants on. Okay, good to know, says the Mishnah, right? Aristeus. And what do they do with all the begadim? There were cubbies. The Mishnah describes vechalonas ayusham because of aleihem tashmish akelim. So as the Rush describes, basically there was a cubby for all the hats. Right, mitznefes, here they go. Cubby for the belts of Nate, here they go. And so there were cubbies, and so the Kohanim would put the clothing in the cubbies, and then the Kohanim, obviously, that didn't have the avoda, I guess, would now go home for the rest of the day.
Did they have their own begadim, or did they wear the same one? A different Kohanim wear the same one?
The different sizes, how could they?
No, what I'm saying, did they wash?
We don't have much more detail. Misha zacha b'ktaris ayinotel sakaf akaf damalatar kaf gadol. Okay, now we're going to be describing the ketaris. The person who was zocha with the ketaris, the kohen who was zocha with the ketaris. Now remember, once in a lifetime opportunity. Now I didn't explain this. I kind of assume everyone knows this, but I'll say it. The ketaris provides ashiras, right? The Rash quotes the psukim in Parshas Vezos Habracha. Barech Hashem Eskeilo Ufol Yavdav Tirtzer. So Kosh Baruch Hu Amasnas Chav. Okay. Yasimu Ketores Ba'apecha V'chalul Amizbechecha Barech Hashem Eskeilo. That's it. Okay, so if you bring the Ketores, so Kosh Baruch Hu will be Mevarech you. You get a bracha from Kosh Baruch Hu. So the offering of the Ketores provides Ashiras. And literally, the Rush writes this, I'm just paraphrasing, right, the Kohanim want to share the wealth, want to spread the wealth. So that every time that Ketores opportunity comes up, which is 365 days out of the year, or if you want to be more technical, 354 days out of the year, so we want a new Kohen every single day to experience that bracha of offering the Ketores. So the person who was zochah the Ketores, he would have a kaf. Now a kaf literally translates as a spoon. It's more like a bowl. V'akaf domla tarkav gadol shel zahav machzeke shlosha kabin. Now it was golden, and it was able to hold three kavs. V'habazach haya b'socho malei v'gadosh. Now there was a bazach, which also is kind of like a spoon, which fit into the kaf. So it was a bowl within a bowl. And when the ketaris was placed in the bazach, it was heaping on the bazach. So that it was an interesting measuring technique. In other words, usually when you have a measuring cup, even when we're measuring dry, so what you do is you level the top so that you have an accurate measurement. The way the ketaris works, the ketaris was precise in how much ketaris was going to be offered every day, but the way the measuring instrument worked is that it was 50... it was 50 dinarim of ketaris offered in the morning and 50 dinarim offered in the afternoon. It was placed in the bazach in a way which the 50 fit in only in a heaping mound over the rim of the bazach. And if it was windy, we had a little bit of a rough go. And the reason why, don't get so pragmatic right now. it's a fair question. And the reason why, says the Rush, is because we wanted bracha. Meaning in bracha is best illustrated when something is heaping over the top.
So did they measure it by heaping it as high as it could, and that was the measurement?
Again, don't get too technical. It's a fair question. I'm just presenting the facts as they are over here on the Mishnah.
You weren't there.
I will say that as well. Now they did factor in. I'll add. They factored in that there was going to be a little bit of spillage, and that's why it was in a bowl within a bowl. Meaning the bazach was in the kaf, and so that if there was any spillover, so the ketores would spill over into the kaf. Okay, so we'll talk more about that. So yeah, and by kiddush, by the way, the minig is to not just to fill to the top, but to pour so that there would be a little bit of spillover. And again, that's the same idea of a bracha and havdalah, right? More specifically by havdalah. Right. So malay gedush ketores v'kisur ayalav kemin mitulas hayalav milamalan, and there was a some sort of covering over the top, and so that none of it will spill out. The Rush one, so much to discuss over here. The Rush makes the following, the following point. The Im Tomar on the Rush. I'm on the left hand column towards the top. It's right after the words Maleva Gadush Ketores. It's four lines after that. And the Rush asks the following question: V'im Tomar Varei Kaf Chotzeitz Ben Yadol Vazach. Meaning, remember that for a kohen to do the avoda, he wants direct contact between him and the kli that he's handling. So really, that which is holding the ketores is a spoon called the bazach. And the bazach is placed in the kaf, and the kohen is holding the kaf. So really, the kohen is not handling the bazach directly, but he's handling it only indirectly. And the Rush wants to know, well, isn't that not right? Meaning, shouldn't the kohen be holding the bazach and not the kaf? So the Rush, the Im Tomar, Kaf Chotzitz Ben Yadol Bazach, Vavechatzitze Kedar Min Bezvachim, Mizrak Ben Mizrak Chotzitz. And he quotes the Gemara in Zvachim, and we know that if you're holding a bowl within a bowl, that's a Chatzitza. Right. And so, why are we worried about the issue of Chatzitza over here?
What is it,
the Min? Ah, so the Yesh Lomar, so the Rush offers two answers. Kevin Detzor Chavod Dehi Lo Havechatzitza. So a simple answer and a fundamental answer is, look, the kaf becomes part of the avoda, meaning I need the kaf because there may be some spilling of the ketores from the bazach, and I don't want it to just simply drop to the floor. So the kaf is there to collect anything that spills over. So I need it, therefore it becomes part of the avoda. Inami, the Rush offers an alternative answer. Have lekicha bedavar acher ushma lekicha beperek lula va'arava vechein perish rizal bezvachim. It's achiza al yidei acher, meaning I'm holding it, but I'm holding it through another item. Now, when we hold our lulav and esrog, right? As for an example, so again, you got to hold it directly. If I wear gloves, that's the chatzitza. But what if I hold something that holds something? Meaning, what if I put it in a holder and I hold the holder? Kind of like what we do. Now, but Ben, your point is going to be well taken over here, because that's really, the holder is the same, it's made up of the same type. So that's min bimino. But even if it wasn't made up of palm leaves, still, it would be considered achiza al yidei davar acher, and it would be okay. Back to the Mishnah. Mishnah, hey. Mishnah zach b'machta. Now, we're going to burn the ketores on the inner mizbeach. Okay. Operative word over here being burn. So we need coals. Where are we going to get the coals from? So you already know the answer to that. We're going to go to the mizbeach achitzon. We're going to take a shovel full of coals from the mizbeach achitzon, and we're going to bring it inside. Now, unlike Yom Kippur, where you only have one person doing everything, that's the Kohen Gadol, but this is not Yom Kippur. This is the other days of the year. So here we're going to have two kohanim. We're going to have the Kohen doing the ketores, and we're going to have his helper. Who's his helper? So the Rush writes very simply. In other words, when he got elected in the Lishkas HaGazis, he just simply points to his friend and he says, good, you're coming with me. And you're helping with me, and his helper is going to be the one taking the shovel, going on to the Mizbeach HaChitzon, taking the coals off the Mizbeach and bringing it inside into the Mizbeach HaZahav. And that's what our Mishnah is describing. Mishazach b'machta nata machta al kesev al rosh mizbeach. So he takes now a silver shovel and he goes on to the mizbeach. Ufanas agachalim helach vehelach. And he wants really hot coals. So he's moving them to the side. Now the Rosh says, take out the next three words of the Mishnah, because that was like a carryover from what we discussed earlier by the Trumas Hadeshen. They don't belong here. Yarad v'iran lasoch shel zahav. And next, he then transfers the coals from a silver to gold. Now, from a silver shovel to a gold shovel. Now, why does he do that? So he does not want to bring the gold shovel onto the top of the Mizbeach, because taking the gold shovel and putting it right into the heart of the fire, it's going to melt the gold shovel, and it's going to ruin it, and we want to preserve it as long as we can.
Silver and gold also elevate.
It's also Malam B'Kedusha. It's very good. Nispazim Mimenu Kikav, a Kav now is going to get lost in this transfer, because the silver shovel was able to hold four kavin, and the gold shovel is only holding one kav. So we're going to lose one in the three. I mean, thank you. So we're going to lose one in the transfer. So that one kav of coals that we lost, so just simply sweep it into the canal. Remember, there's a running canal right down the middle of the Azara, because we needed basically a sewer system. So this was it. On Shabbos, however, it's muksa. Now I know, don't throw out at me Einshvus b'migdash, because that has limited application. Muksa, even though it's a din d'rabbanan, but on Shabbos they didn't touch the coals. It's muksa. So therefore, what did they do? They had this large bowl. It's called the psachtar. Psachtar. The Mishnah takes a moment to describe it. It held 15 core of coals. 15 core is equivalent to 90 kavin. It's a big bowl. And there were two chains connected to this psachtar. One chain to basically hold it up, and another chain so that it doesn't roll down the ramp. And three usages were made with this large psachta bowl. Number one, koftin al gabi chachalim on Shabbos, when coals fell to the floor, and they always did on Shabbos, because the transfer from the silver shovel to the gold shovel resulted in a one kav loss. So therefore, covered up that coals with the psachta. Two, al sheretz b'Shabbos. If a sheretz was found dead in the Azara on Shabbos, so they would use the psachta to cover it up. And three, and again, why don't they just simply take the sheretz out? Shabbos, muktza, right? On three, maridim ba, it's a deshen me'agabe mizbeach. The deshen was taken out from the mizbeach, meaning...
They make the keli tame this way when you put on the sheretz?
No, sheretz only transmits tuma through contact. If it touches, you're right. So then it would be an issue. And they would take the deshen out from the mizbeach, meaning not trumas deshen, but hotzas deshen. Remember, we talked about how there were two aspects to the mitzvah. The trumas deshen was done every single morning. That was a mitzvah to take only one shovelful. But then, of course, obviously, that does not really, it's not real ash removal. Ash removal is done as needed, meaning when the ashes on the mizbeach got too full, so then there would be hotzas adeshen, and they would use this large psachta bowl. Higia beina ulam ulam mizbeach. Now, we are now together with our Kohen, who's about to do the Ketoret, together with his sidekick, who's got a shovel full of coals. And now they're between the ulam and the mizbeach. They're 12 steps going up from the mizbeach up to the ulam. Now to acharas magrefa and vizorka bina ulam ulmizbech. They take a magrefa. Now that's a shovel. Here could be referring to the instrument magrefa, which we talked about earlier. It looks like a shovel, and they bounced it on the floor. Ein adam shomea kol chaver b'Yerushalayim mikol hamagrefa. If you're in the middle of a conversation in Yerushalayim, so you could not hear your friend because the magrefa, when it hit the ground, made a very loud sound. Now, why? What was the purpose of making the sound? So the Mishnah says 3 points. Number one, Kohen Sheshomeas Kola Yodea Shechav Kohanim Nechnasim Lishtachavos Vehurats Uva. Kohanim now know that we have people who are going to go into the Heichal. Now, going into the Heichal was a big deal, right? I'll make a couple of points. Number one, a Yisrael cannot go into the Heichal. Okay? Just, in other words, a Yisrael can go into the Azara, not recommended, but a Yisrael cannot go into the Heichal. Only Kohanim can go into the Heichal.
No Levim either.
Huh? No Levim either. So, number one, it signaled to everybody else, all the other Kohanim, hey, we have a Kohen who's going into the Heichal, and that prompted the other Kohen to run over. And we'll talk why they're running over. Ben Levi Shu Shameas Kola Yodea Shechav Levim Nechnasim Lidvar Lidaber Bashir. It signals to the Levim, hey guys, it's about time that we're going to start the choir. We're going to start the singing. Every morning there was shir. At the end of davening, when we finish davening, we say shir. The shir shel yom, right? That's the last Mishnah in Tamid. Perhaps you'll recognize it. And so this is a signal for the Levim. Let's, you know, it's about time to sing. When did the Levim sing? At the end of the Avoda in the morning. What was the end of the Avoda in the morning? Nisu Chayayin, which we'll talk about later on. And finally, the last thing that this sound signaled is that any Kohen who becomes Tameh would be standing now on the eastern gate. Now I'm going to tell you what the Rosh says, although it's going to be a little bit difficult to understand based on what we learned earlier in Masechet Tamid. Meaning there was if there was a group of Kohanim who were not careful and who becomes Tameh, so they would have to stand by the eastern gate. And the Rush writes, it's a way of embarrassing them. Because, in other words, it was the week in which they were supposed to be doing the Avoda. They weren't careful and they become Tamei, obviously precluding them from doing the Avoda. And so therefore they would have to stand on the Eastern Gate, which was the main entrance into the Azara, so that they would have to suffer the embarrassment. Now, number one, why specifically do we want... I understand the basic idea that they shouldn't have become Tamei, but to actually... positively, proactively embarrass them, that's difficult to understand. And did we not say earlier in the Masechta that they had the underground tunnels where they told them the mikvah and they waited until the door... And that, right, that was the Balkari.
Those guys left as soon as everybody started walking.
Didn't they leave the moment that the gates opened up?
So these people will become Tamei after that.
Perhaps. I don't know. Meaning it's difficult... to understand this Mishnah in light of what we learned earlier in the Masechta. Okay, I'm just raising that as an issue. Hadron Alach Amar Lehem HaMamuna, that is the end of the fifth parak of Tamid, we move on. Heichelu Olim B'Malos Ulam, they're walking now up the steps of the Ulam, 12 steps going up. Mishazachu B'Dishan Mizbech HaPanimi V'HaMenorah Hayu Makdim. Now remember, earlier in the morning, we already cleaned out the Mizbech HaZahav. We already cleaned out the menorah. If you remember earlier in the Masechta, they deposited the utensils. They left them inside, meaning they didn't take them out yet. So they're going to go in now. These two Kohanim are going to go in. And they're going to go in before the Ketoris and his sidekick are going to go in. Misha Zacha B'disha Mizbecha Panimi Nichnas V'Natal Sateni. So he takes his basket. Ve'ishtacha V'Viyatza. And he bows and he leaves. Right? You're going to see a common theme is that when you finish doing your avoda in the Heichal, you must bow before you leave.
Then they go in and they clear the other two things of the menorah and take everything out.
Give me a moment. The Mishnah is going to get to it. Mishnah Zachar B'dushan HaMenorah Nechnas U'matzah Shenoros Ma'aravias Dolkon. Now, the Kohen who's now in charge of the menorah, so what he's going to find normally are the two most western candles is not the right word.
Eastern. The western ones were lit before. Remember, we left the bowl in the second step, so the two.
You're correct. Correction of the Mishnah, right? Shteneros Mizrachis, the two eastern lights are going to be lit. Midashin is a Mizrachi, Umeniach is a Maravi. That's why there was a mistake. Okay, and what he does is he cleans out the most eastern one. And he leaves the western one. Now, the western one over here means, of those two, The one that's closer to the west. So if you would like to just follow from the east to the west, so it is, we're now talking about the one that is the sixth from the west, second from the east. Right? You following me?
Right.
Okay. Dolik, I'm sorry, it's a Maravi Dolik, and that one is left lit. Now, that one's left lit. First of all, how is it lit? Meaning,
it was left lit, or they lit it before the five.
They only placed enough oil. I know it's going to start sounding like Hanukkah right now, but they only left enough oil in each cup so that it would light overnight. Now there is the opinion of the Rambam, and the Rambam says that they lit it also in the morning as well.
Yeah.
Okay, but he really is a minority opinion. The majority of Rishonim say that they only lit the menorah during the night. Okay. And that's a discussion in of itself. So, but in other words, in the morning, so there was, however, one candle, one menorah that remained lighting. So the Rush writes, this was a miracle, obviously. And that this second one from the west, the sixth one from the east, second one from the east, sixth one from the west, is going to continue lighting for the duration of the day. And the Rush points out that this did not go for most of the Second Temple. Most of the Second Temple, after the death of Shimon HaTzadik, Shimon HaTzadik was one of the first generations of the Second Temple. After that point in time, so we're talking now for the duration, from the majority of the Second Temple, they did not find that there was a menorah lit for the duration of the day. Shemimenu Ayumalik is a menorah Shobein Arabayim. Matzuk Shekavo, now, if they found that all the menorahs were extinguished in the morning, which again, as the Rush writes, which was most of the time during the Second Temple, midashno, they would clean it out. Umadlikum mizbecha ola. Now you're going to light. According to the Rambam, you're lighting that morning. According to all the other Rishonim, you're lighting that night. Where are you going to get the matches from? Where's the fire going to come from? The outer mizbech. After now having cleaned out all the menorah, all seven of the menorah, so now the kuz, that was the jug that was placed on the second step. Remember, there was a block with three steps going up to the menorah, so that was then taken out as well. Okay, so we had now two kohanim going in, one taking out the tenna of the mizbech hazav, one taking out the kuz of the menorah, and everything now is cleaned. Now the next two kohanim, our ketoros and a sidekick, are going in. So the Mishnah over here describes very simply, Mishnah Beis describes how the sidekick, who has a shovel full of coals, lays the coals on top of the Mizbech HaZahav, flattens out the top, and he bows and he leaves. Mishnah Gimel. Now, the one who's about to do the guitarist is taking out the inner spoon from the outer spoon. Hands it over to his friend. And what he does is now, his friend is going to transfer the guitarist from the spoon into his hands. Remember, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to do all this himself. The Mishnah in Yuma describes one of the most challenging avodas is for the Kohen to have to transfer the Ketores from the spoon into his own hands. Okay, that is, it's very hard to just even visualize how the Kohen Gadol is going to do that.
And the thing is that it's actually three times bigger on the Yom Kippur.
Correct.
Three
correct.
Times more.
Correct. It's whatever. It's described as one of the most difficult avodas. So the Mishnah here describes that here during the rest of the year.
Three manas, because today they
right,
didn't
right.
Half a mana.
Correct,
anymore.
Correct.
Three
right. So so now every day, so the Kohen had help. He had a trusted companion who was there to actually help him out, transfer from the spoon into his hands. He puts it into his palms of his hands. Now we give him the following piece of advice, excellent advice, coming up, excellent. And that is, you're about to sprinkle the incense on top of the coals. Don't do the following. Don't start off with the coals that are directly in front of you. and then start spreading it away from you. Because what's going to happen, of course, is that the incense is going to burn, and it's going to go right over your hands. This is what we call in English common sense. But rather what you should do is you should start off away from you, and then bring it the incense closer to you. Bring your hands closer to you as you drop the incense over the coals. Okay. Now, he didn't actually do it until he got the go-ahead from the Mamuna. Now, if the Kohen Gadol is doing the Ketores, where does he come from? Remember, the Kohen Gadol can do whatever he wants. It's good to be the Kohen Gadol. Unless, of course, you get to Yom Kippur and then you die. Other than that, it's really good to be the Kohen Gadol. You can step in anytime you want to do whatever avoda you want. And the mission over here just simply points out that if, in fact, the Kohen Gadol is the one doing the avoda, what do we say? Ishi Kohen Gadol, right? Mr. Kohen Gadol, treating him with the utmost reverence and respect. Hakter. Parshua am v'yitir v'yishtachav v'yatsa. Everyone bows and then leaves.
This was one left. Another shot because he gives it over to the Kohen Gadol. That's it.
If the Kohen Gadol wants to come in, it's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Okay. And finally, Bisman Shebeis. I'm sorry. Bisman Shekohen Gadol Nechlas Vishtach V'Shlosha Ochsim Bal. Okay, now when the Kohen Gadol is going to go in and he wants to bow, so he gets three people to help him bow in the Heichal. Echad b'yaminov, echad b'smola, one to his right, one to his left. Right, with the best way we could visualize this is on the Yamim Norayim, when you see the Shliach Tziva, the Chazan, bowing down. So you have people standing to his right and to his left helping him out, but the Kohen Gadol gets a third person. And why does the Kohen Gadol get a third person? Says the Mishnah, the Echad b'avanim tovos. Remember, the Kohen Gadol is wearing the Choshen. The Choshen's got 12 stones on it. Okay, it's both precious and heavy. Okay, and so therefore, the Kohen Gadol is going to need a little bit of support, extra support for the. And so, one person is actually going to be holding the Choshen as the Kohen Gadol is doing his bowing. When the Mamuna hears the Kohen Gadol, who's now exiting the Heichal in the morning, so he lifts the parochis. Now, if you look behind me and you look at the entrance into the Beit HaMikdash, there really are two entrances. One is into the Ulam, which I told you there was no door over there, and one from the Ulam into the Heichal, where there are doors over there. Even though there was no doorway into the Ulam, but there was a screen. Okay? It was a curtain. Tznius. So therefore, when the Kohen Gadol is exiting, so they're going to have to move the parochas to the side.
Wait, which parochas?
No, he would walk backwards, that's why. He couldn't see.
He couldn't see, but also, you know, that was right.
He walks backwards.
Which entrance? Into the Ulam.
Into the 20 by 40, right?
Yeah, that's a 20 by 40 entrance, that's right. Nichnas v'yishtachav v'yatza, nichnasu acha kohanim, yishtachav v'yatza. Kohanim are going to now, all the other Kohanim are going to go into the Heichal just so they could do Ishtachavai as well, just so they could bow. The Rush points out over here in the very beginning of this Perek, you know, you can't go into the Heichal for no reason. There's got to be a reason why you go into the Heichal. You're doing the Ketores, you're cleaning the Mizbech HaZahav. So essentially what he asks is, all these other Kohanim, they're just going to go into bow. What are they doing there in the Heichal? Meaning, what purpose? And the Rush writes, first Rush in this parak, Echar haketara nichnas v'heichal ishtachavos ve'inze biarekanis. This is not an empty entrance into the Heichal. The ishtachave avodahu. Because bowing by itself is considered an avoda, and so therefore just the simple act of bowing is considered an avoda. Ba'am v'amdu amalos ha'ulam. Amdu Arishonim Ladaron Acheyem Akohanim V'chamisha Kelim Biyadam. So now they're standing on the steps of the Ulam. Remember, 12 steps that are going up to the Heichal from the floor of the Azara. And the Rishonim and the earlier Kohanim are going to be standing more south on the steps than the Kohanim who did the Ketores. Why?
More south or more west? More south or west?
More, the Mishnah says south. More south. Why? So the Rosh explains. Because remember, the more north you are, the more Kedusha there is. Why? Because we discussed that Kachim were Shechtin in the north. Kachim Kalim were Shechtin in the south. The one who just offered the Ketores, he has more Kedusha. So therefore, he stands in a more northern point of the Azara. There were five kelim. The teni is the basket, which was where we collected all the ashes of the Mizbech HaZahav. The kuz is where we collected all the ashes and the schmutz of the menorah. The shovels hold in one hand. And the shovel and the two spoons that held the ketores, the inner spoon and the outer spoon, and the covering. Uvarchu es ha'am bracha achas. And,
huh?
Right now it's being held. And then they would give, and then they would duchen. So now we are talking about duchening in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah points out over here, duchening in the Beis HaMikdash is not exactly the same as duchening outside the Beis HaMikdash. Right? You Sephardim are lucky, you get to experience duchening every day. We Ashkenazim only duchen when we're happy, which is not that often. I know it's what can I tell you? Right, I've told you this before. The Rama writes, I can't even make this up. The Rama writes that we duchen only when we're in a state of happiness, and the Rama writes that we're only happy on Yontav, and even on Yontav itself, we're not super happy. Only at Musaf. Only when we're approaching the end of Shul, I'm not making this up, you can look inside. Only when we're approaching the end of Shul, only when we know we're about to go home and have lunch, then and only then. It's a confluence of events. It's Yontif, it's Musaf, it's we're going home to eat lunch. Only then can we experience the true Simcha. It's crazy. Only then, I know, this is such a drasha, waiting to happen. But this is the Ramah, I'm just saying over the Ramah. Only then are we then in a position to have enough simcha so that we can possibly experience duchening. You should know the Vilna Gaon did not enjoy this position at all, did not enjoy this opinion at all. The Vilna Gaon says we have a chance to duchen every single day, and he did not understand why the Minhag Ashkenaz was not to duchen every single day. The Vilna Gaon tried very hard to change the Minhag Ashkenaz and to try to duchen every day. He was both unsuccessful and successful. What do I mean by that? So for the Ashkenazim who lived in Europe in the 18th century, he was totally unsuccessful. However, you know this part of the story? A lot of his Talmidim were quote-unquote Zionists. And a lot of his Talmidim made it to Eretz Yisrael. And so the Talmidim in Eretz Yisrael said, our Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, wanted duchening every day. We're going to duchen every day. And so therefore in Eretz Yisrael, the Minhag Ashkenaz is to duchen every single day because that was started by the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon. So in Europe, he did not have success, but in Eretz Yisrael, he did have success. So that's the story of the Ashkenazim and duchening. It's an unbelievable story. So, Ubarchus Ambrach Achas. Ela Shebebedina Omrim Osa. And by the way, most of the Minhagi Ashkenaz and Eretz Yisrael are Minhagi of the Vilna Gaon, exactly for that reason. So bracha achas el shebe medina omrim osa shalosh brachos uve mikdash bracha achas. Now in the Beis Hamikdash, it was not yivrecha chasham vishmercha amen. It wasn't that. It was all three psukim, one continuum. Outside the Beis Hamikdash, when we dochen, so it's broken up into the three psukim.
But the thing is, who is meant for them anyway? Is anybody there to say amen for them?
Well, we'll get to that in just a moment. In the Beis HaMikdash, when they got to Shem Hashem, they said Shem Hashem. Properly. Not the way we say it. We give it a nickname. We give it a kinui. They said it as it is pronounced. Over Medina b'kinuyav. B'medina ha'kohanim nosim es yedem k'neged kaftehem. Sorry, katfehem. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim would raise their hands no higher than their shoulder. Over Mikdash al gabe roshehem. In the base of Mikdash, however, their hands would be further elevated. Chutz mi Kohen Gadol she'in magbias yadav lamala min hatzitz. Kohen Gadol, however, when he took, and he did not take his hands and bring them higher than his head, because his head had the tzitz. The tzitz says Kodesh la Hashem, and it's inappropriate, it's a lack of kavod, to raise your hands higher than Kodesh la Hashem. Rav Yehuda Omer af Kohen Gadol magbia es yadav lamala min hatzitz shenemar v'yisa Aaron es yadav el ha'am v'yivarchem. And Rav Yehuda disagrees, and again, hard to understand this point of disagreement. Okay. Let's stop. Let's pause over here. We have two more Mishnayos that we need to do. Tomorrow on Shabbos, we'll finish the two Mishnayos. We'll finish Masechta Tamid. And God willing, tomorrow on Shabbos, we're going to start Masechta Midos. And we'll do the first parak of Midos tomorrow on Shabbos. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Continue Refuah Shleima. Refuah Zaka Avram Ben Yakir Avigail. And Binyamin Zev. Ben Sharon Rivka. And Moshe Yehuda ben Yoshua and Michal ben Chava. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavi Amaretz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Sakos Yisol Fichachir ben Torah Ritzo Shenema Anecha Fitzamatzi Kol Yadil Torah V'Yadir.